Gracious Father, we thank you. Thank you for this beautiful opportunity once again to break bread in your presence. Thank you for the mighty things you're doing. Thank you for the great things you're doing today. Thank you because your word is prospering our hearts. Thank you because your word is producing changed men. Changed men are producing changed society. Thank you for the societal transformation that is happening because of your word. Thank you because your word is being preached unhindered by any demonic force of darkness. Thank you because your grace is made available, O God, and your anointing is here to break the yokes. Thank you because your word prospers. Blessed be your name, O God. We vow to return the glory to you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus visited a house, and Mary decided to sit at the feet of Jesus to learn, while Martha was busy running to and fro, trying to get a lot of things sorted out. A lot of activities on that day. At some point, Martha felt, I am the one working for God. And so she reached out to Jesus to complain and say, Jesus, can't you imagine what is happening? Can you imagine that Mary is not even doing anything about your presence? The response was shocking. Martha didn't expect it. Martha was expecting that since she was the one running up and down with a lot of activities, Jesus should have supported her. But in this occasion, Jesus told her, Martha, Martha, you are encumbered with so much things, so much activities, and yet in the realm of the spirits, you are not striking any chord at all. She says, but Mary, even though she looks motionless, even though from the human perspective she looks lazy, but she has chosen the best part. And he said, this will not be taken from her. I said that to congratulate you, because every time you make a choice for the word of God, you are choosing something that will not be taken from you. I'm trusting the Lord that as you spend time in his presence tonight, it will show in your life in the name of Jesus. I said it will show in your life in the name of Jesus. Please turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I want to continue and perhaps trusting God to round off completely what we started sharing on Sunday, the thoughts the Lord brought to my heart that we started sharing on Sunday, and that is discussing the church, our identity and purpose. The church, our identity and purpose. I spent a lot of time trying to explain to us about our identity as a church. And I remember telling us that the major problem many church people have is lack of consciousness. I recall I showed us from Genesis 28 that Jacob stumbled into a location in the physical that looks like the church, for instance. And because that place looked very unassuming, he could have just taken it for granted that this is just one of those places. However, the moment he closed his eyes to sleep, suddenly God decided to introduce him to the location where he was. And in that particular occasion, he saw that angels were ascending and descending. So what that tells us is that what we see in the natural is not all there is to life. And I said that because the topic we're handling is trying to unveil the church and the things around the church. The problem with human life is that we are so limited. such that if God doesn't show you the true position of things in the realm of the spirit, you may just take what we do here for granted. So let's go further. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 1, please. If you can help me from verse 1, maybe it will help us from verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, pick the word heard. Which we have seen, pick the word see. That means two things are responsible, at least partly responsible and largely responsible for awakening our consciousness. And that is what I call sights and sound. Sights and sound are largely, that means what we see and what we hear are largely responsible for awakening our consciousness. So John was trying to introduce something to us here. And he said, the authority I have to bring this thing to you is that we have heard and we have seen it. So he says that which was from the beginning, even though this thing we want to discuss is from the beginning, but many people do not know it. Why? Because they have not heard and they have not seen it. And so he said, this, what I'm discussing was from the beginning. It means it was established before time began. But unfortunately, many people don't know it because they have not heard and they have not seen. I want to remind you that this guy speaking here was part of the team that Jesus took to the mountain. Matthew chapter 17 showed that they at the Mount of Transfiguration, when they got there, suddenly Jesus transfigured before them. When he changed before them, suddenly a voice came from on high as well. When he changed before them, they saw a different Jesus. It was not the natural Jesus they saw. They saw a different man. And also he heard the voice, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." So it is from that history or from that background that John was writing. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, the same sight, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Ladies and gentlemen, Christianity will not make any sense to you if God does not enable your eyes to see and your ears to hear. I can assure you that for several years of my life in church, I have been a Sunday school teacher at least for about close to 15 years. But the moment God showed mercy on me and opened my eyes to see the church and the true picture of the church, a lot changed. How did I get into that reality? Suddenly we decided that we've had enough of words, just speaking words in church. Can we just begin to intercede for the church? Ladies and gentlemen, the first week we tried it, I think the Lord had seen the zeal in my heart and he said, let me just show this guy a little of what we do here. What my eyes saw on that fateful day are not things that any man can tell me. So, I am not a Christian because someone told me to join. I don't come to church because someone said we must come to church. I have a revelation of what we do here. And so, when I come into a circle like this, that is supposed to be a spiritual atmosphere, and I see people taking it for granted, I simply understand issues aside. You see, when these guys came to arrest Elisha, Elisha was looking at them, yet he wasn't seeing them. He was seeing a greater company of men with them. And on that day, he said, "Oh God, open the eyes of Gehazi." The moment Gehazi's eyes was opened, his perspective changed. So John was talking about what he has seen, what he has handled of the word of life. Verse 2, please. "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." I'm sure you know he was talking about Christ. Verse 3 again. "That which we have seen again and heard, declare now we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us." The word very key here is fellowship. So he's trying to introduce the church to us. "That we may have fellowship." What is fellowship? Fellowship is koinonia. It's a Greek word, koinonia, meaning common things. Fellows in a ship. That means we are common in certain ways. We behave alike. So when we come into fellowship, we come into some intimate relationship. But it is not just with the physical people you are seeing. What I've been trying to labor to bring to our attention is that whenever we gather, it is not just what you see. That's what I've been laboring to bring. So John says, "That he also may have fellowship with us." I need to tell you, because if I don't tell you to bring you to that fellowship, you will take it for granted like many others. And he says, "And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Remember what I told you on Sunday? That when the angels were ascending and descending, Christ was at the top. So we cannot talk about the church and fellowship without talking about the supremacy of Christ. And John said, "Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ." Fellowship, our union. There is something about our gathering, guys. There is something about this company of believers. I hear people say they are sick and somehow they feel that the right place to go when you are tired is somewhere else or to rest at home. No, it's okay to rest. I don't have a problem with that. But if you truly understand what happens here when we gather, you will know that the right place to come when you feel weak is this place. Why? Our fellowship, even though it doesn't seem so, is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4. "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Listen, the moment you appreciate the presence of Jesus and all the host of angels that gather with us as a church, it will bring joy to your heart. The sight I told you I saw in that particular occasion did something to me. It made me realize that we are not joking as a church, guys. I wish I could explain it to you more. But I want you to know, be rest assured, that we are not alone as a church. We are not lonely. Every time we meet here, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost fellowship with us. And whenever this thing happens, good things happen around us. And that is why when we give time to worship, when we truly give time to those activities that make these beings visible, suddenly strange things begin to happen. This thing should not be like a miracle. It should be a normal thing. That every time we give time, we allow God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost to have their prime place amongst us, good things happen. Verse 5. "When it happens, it brings joy." Verse 5. Now it says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. The next thing that happens is that because of the presence of God in our gathering, light fills the place. This is, I'm telling you, are things we have seen. If you are an intercessor in this place, what I'm teaching will not be strange. If you have found time to wait on God in your life, in your personal lives, if you have taken out time to wait on God, when I tell you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, it won't be strange to you. But I want you to note that when God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost comes to tabernacle with us in that fellowship, what happens is that there is light. I told you first, there is joy, and secondly, there is light. And in that light, darkness does not dwell. What is darkness? Darkness is anything that negates light. Darkness is anything that is not in consonance with light. Darkness is anything that does not capture the will, complete will of God for your life. Confusion is darkness. Discouragement is darkness. I can't count how many times life has dealt some blows to me, and I tell myself, just walk into the church. I just need to get to the church. And once I walk in, the choir starts singing, someone starts praying, suddenly burdens are lifted. You know why? You know why? When we fellowship, God is light. And because he's present, darkness begins to fly away. Go to verse 6. Now, if we say that we have fellowship with him, that means if we say we have intercourse, koinonia with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Let me explain this. While I was meditating, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to see this. What is fellowship? I've said it is koinonia. It is called intercourse. Scripture was saying, if we say that we have koinonia with him, that means if we say we have intercourse with light and yet still walk in darkness, we are lying. Remember, Jesus, I told you on Sunday, he is the husband of the church. He is the head of the church. And in him, there is no darkness. In him, there is no darkness. He is full of light. It's not possible for a lion to have intercourse with a lioness and produce something different. So it's not possible that you have fellowship when the church is properly structured and produce anything darkness. It means we are not gathering unto Jesus as the authority of the church. The whole essence of this message is to bring us to that consciousness that when we sit with God in light, it affects our productions, it affects our outcomes. We cannot come into church when church is properly done and live depressed. That's what I'm saying. If indeed we fellowship with light, we can't come into church and live with sickness. That's what I'm saying. So when we come into that consciousness, remember Jacob said, God was here and I knew it not. Sir, it's possible to come into light not knowing it. You will not take advantage of it. We are going to be taking a lot of journeys this season. And it will be my joy that everyone comes into the consciousness. I hate to waste my time. When I tell you that God is real, don't doubt me. I have seen him. God is real. His presence is real. It is true that when God shows up, things, mountains quake. Go and read Psalm 29. What ailed the old down mountains that you skip like ram? There is a reason. His presence, when fully activated, It should show. That's what I'm saying. People should not come into church on Sunday and leave the same way they came. They shouldn't come for a service. You shouldn't come here to lead worship and people leave the same way as if nothing happened. No. We should not teach Sunday school and do it as if it's about intellectual work. No, sir. Jesus inhabits. When his people gather, he says, if two or three of you gather in my name, he makes a promise. He says, surely there am I in the midst of them. And when he comes to impregnate us with light. And when he impregnates us, we will naturally deliver light. So when we are done with church on Wednesdays, on Sundays, and we resume at work on Monday, people should naturally know that we had fellowship with light. That's what I'm saying. Verse 7 and the last. He said, but if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Let me explain this too. If indeed we truly fellowship with Jesus, we fellowship in light. If we come sincerely into the light to fellowship with him, something happens to us. Even if there was sin in your life, when you come in here, something should cleanse you. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said, even if you came in with sin and iniquity, because another factor that is produced in our fellowship is the blood of Jesus. So the blood of Jesus should cleanse you so that you will live here pure. You should not be carrying guilt, coming into church and living with that same guilt. I'm saying it's not right. The right thing should be when you come in and fellowship with the light. It is the duty of the light to deal with that darkness. All we need to do is to expose our darkness to him. The problem with many of us is that when we come to church, we hide our darkness. I'm saying when you have faults, when you have struggles, when you come before Jesus, don't hide it. It will pay you to open up and tell him, Lord Jesus, this is my fault. This is the thing that I'm not doing well. So that his light shines. And when it shines, it makes us better. So that we live here with a consciousness of his presence. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Key aspects of Christ's headship. Key aspects of Christ's headship. Five of them, I'll quickly run through them. Remember, I talked about Christ being the head of what we do here. What are the aspects of his headship in our lives as a church? Number one, supreme authority and sovereignty. Supreme authority and sovereignty. I told us on Sunday that Christ is supposed to have the ultimate authority over all things, particularly the church. Why? Because the church is supposed to be the bride of Christ. So when we say that Jesus has or is the head of the church, what we are saying is that he is the supreme authority over the church. So I said, if you want to dress and Jesus tells you, my daughter, I don't like the way you are dressed, you will change it. If you want to go out with some friends and he whispers, say, my son, I don't like these friends, you know you change them. As a student, I remember I got back to Lagos those days and I bought this particular kind of thing. And I got back to school. On this particular day in fellowship, I wore that jean to go out. I wasn't myself throughout that event. Why? The Jesus inside of me was reacting. You are a priest and a king. You can't dress this way. Listen, I told us on Sunday that Jesus has a yoke. The gospel that makes you think that you can do just anyhow you like is a lie. They sold a lie to you. If he's the King of Kings, if he's the supreme ruler in your life, it will show. As a young banker those days, those Friday nights, my guys would say, let's go out. Guys, let's go and ball. This is Friday night. And you know, somehow those boys or those guys, they won't give you money, but they want you to come and drink. Have you noticed? Guys, show. Give me money, no, but just show. So those days I went out, we sat down. Of course, I was taking malt and all those things. And all of them are taking their kind of brands. Before you know it, all kind, you know, when they are high in that thing, when once they get high, they start talking nonsense. They were now speaking all kinds of things. The Jesus in me told me, what are you doing here? How did you get here? So I knew the moment I leave here today, I will never come back here. Why? He is the supreme authority over your life. So the question is Jesus supreme in your life? Can he give you commands? If you say you are born again, you should give us examples of commands he has given you. You should give us examples of people he has told you, this one, you can't do this. You should tell us the days where he gave you a command, you can't keep malice. You feel like doing it, he says no. The you that used to keep malice before you got born again can no longer keep malice. Why? He is the supreme authority and sovereignty in our lives. If it's your head, it will show. Number two aspect of Christ's headship is the body analogy. The body analogy. Now, the church is frequently described as the body of Christ, with Christ as the head, emphasizing unity and functional dependence on him. What it means is that we should not be competing against ourselves. If we are truly the body of Christ, then we must love ourselves. My hand cannot say I hate my leg. Is someone getting what I'm saying? It's in church that a young lady wants to marry a brother, and the issue we are having is that he said he's Yoruba, he said he's Hausa, he said he's Igbo. And I'm asking, which brand of Christ do we know? As a child of God and a member of the body of Christ, what is important is Christ, not the tribe. So in the church, we don't do tribes, guys. We don't do it for my village. We don't do that here. What is important here is that he has Christ in his life. It's unfortunate. I have seen it happen. But a generation is rising that we say no to that nonsense. Paul said there is no Jew nor Gentile, is it not? No Greek. For what we see, he said, no male and even female. He says, all we see is Christ. So if indeed he's the head of the body, then we must be united. Glory be to God. It is an anomaly for two people to be quarreling in church. That's what I'm saying. If you can sustain a quarrel with your brother or your sister, I even had one. These guys were couples. Oh my God. The husband was in Sunday school. The wife was a chorister. They were a couple. They were able to quarrel successfully for 1 year. And our brother was teaching Sunday school fire with fire every morning. Our sister was singing from the heavy, wonderful voice. You can be sure that was not to Christ. If you say you are in Christ, it will check the way you deal with your colleagues. Will there be offenses? Offenses will come, sir. But I'm telling you, we cannot quarrel. Why? Christ is head of the church. So these strange things that can make people, two people quarrel in the same church, and they will sustain it for 1 month, 2 months, that thing is not Christ. It is something else. It's not Christ. Number three aspects of Christ's headship is source of life and growth. Source of life and what? Growth. The church derives its spiritual life, nourishment, and growth directly from Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Can you put it up for me, please? Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Put it on the screen for me, please. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. I want to show something here. Colossians 3, verse 4. Can we read together? I want to go. When Christ, who is what? Shout it now. Who is what? Who is Christ? Shout it. Who is Christ? There are implications when Christ is your life. And I will tell you one immediately. If Christ is your life, it means you should not be falling sick anyhow. If Christ is your life, you should not be falling sick anyhow. If Christ is your life, there is a way to live. So when those things come around your life, you will remind, you say, Christ is my life now. When the conductor is pulling you, trying to push you to do things you should not do, you will remember that Christ is my life. When there are temptations to do the wrong things and you are a member of the body, you will remember that Christ is my life. And remember that Christ gives us nourishment. So what it means, let me explain it to you. When the finger is hot, who bears the pain? Talk to me, who bears the pain? The whole body. I want you to see the implication of your life to this church. When I go out, there is a way I cannot behave. You know why? My foolishness will not just affect only me. It will affect the body. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that place you found comfortable to hide, to do things that are unchristlike, you are actually puncturing the body. Guys, look up. Do you realize that when Achan went to pick up their costings? Are you following me? Are you following me? When Achan went to pick up their costings, do you know I was expecting that in the next battle, when they went to fight Ai, that God will say, come on. Oh, it's only Achan that did this now. Let's punish only Achan's family. Do you realize that Israel were killed and slaughtered in the next battle? Who remembers? Who remembers? Joshua had to fall on his face to cry and say, Lord, what is happening? And at his inquiry, remember I told you that one of the things you must do, one of the implications of Christ being our head is that we inquire a lot. Remember on Sunday? So when Joshua went to inquire, God told him, one of you has picked up their costing. It looks to me like in church, our destinies are tied. You are not seeing it here like that, but I'm telling you, it looks to me that our destiny is what? Talk to me, is what? Do you remember that David went to count Israel? Who remembers? And I was thinking that God just attacked only David. What happened? People began to die in Israel. What does that tell you? It means I must be careful how I live my life because it has implications on my neighbor. So when you see your neighbor misbehaving, you should know it has implications. It has implications. Many of us don't see that, but I'm telling you, when you study scriptures, you will see it that way. It has implications. Achan picked up their costings. Everyone suffers. Do you notice, sir, that when finally we discovered Achan, what happened? God said, both him, his wife, every family member of Achan will do what? Bury them. There are implications. There are implications. Christ is the source of our life and growth. Number four aspects of Christ's headship is sacrificial love. As the head, Christ loves the church and sacrificed himself to sanctify and cleanse it. Listen, your sanctification is Christ's responsibility. Many of you struggle with addictions, struggle with sin, struggle with weight because you have not seen this thing I'm telling you. During COVID, something happened. I got into the room one of those days and my wife was shedding tears. I said, what's the problem? She told me, I think she showed me her phone to show me the research that shows that the symptoms of COVID and all that. I saw it. She said, what's the problem? It looks like I've contacted COVID. I laughed. I said, COVID will take my own wife under my nose. It's not possible. There is a way I prayed that night. And blessed be God, our kids have been taken out of the house. I was just telling a colleague today in the office, I said, the way I chased COVID that night, I was shouting as if I was seeing COVID. You know why? You want to touch what belongs to me. Look up. No responsible man takes his wife for granted. Church, you are Christ's wife. You are the wife of Christ. And so what that means is that you are loved. You see, one of these days, we'll take our time to discuss the love of Jesus. Do you realize that if you were the only one in this world, do you realize that Christ will still go to the cross? At times when we pray, I notice we pray as if, I don't even know whether he's hearing. Maybe he's not hearing. Maybe he's hearing. Let me just be saying it. We need to be conscious. Christ loves you. Jesus loves you. That is, the love is passionate. The issue with many of us is that we don't know how much. To be honest, you can't really know it in time. To be honest, you will not be able to understand the love of Christ in time. But one of the major implications of being a member of the body of Christ is that Jesus loves you. That is, thinking about it alone gives me so much joy. When the world thinks I am not good enough, when my parents think I am not good enough, when my father calls me useless, when my mother calls me foolish, there is a God that loves me, and that is Christ. Part of the things we must bring back to the church is that we are not just doing a religion. Christianity is not a religion. This is a love walk. In fact, let me shock you. It doesn't matter how beautiful your plans are for your life. God has the best plan for you. No matter how beautiful, I have discovered. How many of you can recall the days where this particular lady, you thought you would marry her? You thought, if I don't marry this girl, I will die. Or if I don't get this job, my life will end if I don't get the job. And after 2-3 years, you just look back and say, wow, Jesus, thank you for delivering me from trouble. You know why? You know why? You are a member of the body of Christ. You are actually God's wife, Jesus' wife. I didn't understand love very well until I got married. If you marry well, you would have taken bullets for your wife before you realize. Normally, if you have married well, properly, there are things you will do. Should I talk about when I got my first son? I will be sleeping on the bed and I hear him cry. I don't know how I'm able to jump. That's the way you fathers know what I'm saying. That's the way you fly to the place where the boy is to get him. And I'm saying you are not thinking about it. It is reflex. You know why? Love. I want you to understand how much Jesus loves you. That love is called sacrificial love. That is the major aspect of Christ's headship. Tell your neighbor, Jesus loves me. With a smile, say, Jesus loves me. Now touch us. Just say, I am loved by the Father. Please, I want you to touch yourself. Understanding that means I am loved by the Father. I had a father who loved me, or I have a father who loved me, or who loves me, and I know how it can be. I know, I am not guessing, I know. I have experienced love from my dad, and I know he loves me. I am not guessing it, I know he loves me. And the Bible says, if you, being evil, can give good gifts to your children, how much more the Father? Jesus loves me. Glory be to God. Say it after me. Say, Jesus loves me. Finally, number 5 key aspects of Christ's headship is the unifying function. Christ is the source of unity among diverse members of the church. We are not tribalistic in church. We are lovers of Jesus. Let it never be said that Noah's Ark is an Igbo church. Let it never be said that Noah's Ark is a Yoruba church. Let it never be said that the RCCG, Noah's Ark, is an outside church. It will never happen here. We are the church of Christ. We are not, we don't belong to any tribe. They gave them posts because they are from this tribe. Let it never be said. Christ united every one of us and makes us his own. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Quickly, before I round off, let me jump into what I tag purposes of the church, or the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Observe everything I've been talking about since unity. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of hearts. 47 and the last. Praising God and having favor with all the people. It always gets to the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Give me Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. The purpose of the church. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. 20 and the last. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I'm going to run through these things. Five purposes of the church. This is in no way exhaustive, but from my research, it has to be around these five things. Number one, worship. 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 The number one purpose of the church is to bring pleasure to Jesus in worship. Revelation chapter 4, verse 10 to 11 says, He created all things for His own pleasure. Every time I talk about Jesus and the church, always remember a husband and a wife. I walked into the house yesterday and I looked at my wife after the pressure of the day. As I came in and saw her, I began to smile. I said, this is worth it. Every stress I've gone through today is worth it. As I'm looking at this woman. You know why? You know why? She's my wife. I love her thoroughly. So as I walk through the door and see her smiling, my day is made. The whole stress just goes. So she exists. She has not done anything. Just that she was just as I'm walking in, I'm happy. We are created for His pleasure. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The angels observed God and saw how He was gushing over His creation. These people have to be special. Why do you love them? Worship. He created us for worship. When He looks at His bride, His beautiful bride, the church, He is happy. I bring Jesus pleasure. When He looks at me, He finds pleasure. And that is why, at all costs, when you come into that koinonia, you will avoid sin. Oh, my wife and I, by God's grace, we got married as virgins. Yesterday, we are still gisting. How come you kept yourself all through before marriage? And I told her, I couldn't imagine another woman seeing my boxers. What I didn't tell her was I couldn't imagine Jesus watching me break His heart. I got born again very early. I couldn't imagine Him break. I couldn't imagine doing things. And I imagine His face weeping. And I'm saying, I'm having pleasure. There is a level of fellowship you come into with the Father. You will run from impurity. Why? Because it will break someone's heart. It's a love relationship. Worship. Number two, evangelism. Our core duty as a church is to proclaim the gospel, to win souls for the kingdom, to bring them into the kingdom. That is our core purpose. Anytime the church loses grip of this purpose, we have lost our savour. When the Lord promoted me at work and made me a manager such that I could not have my own personal office, one of my greatest joy, I'm telling you, was that I cannot have a free space where I can preach the gospel. I cannot tell you how many people have cried in my office giving their lives to Christ. What was obtainable around me was I saw senior people. Every young girl around them was a target. I said, Jesus did not promote me to this place to mess up. This office is a platform for His kingdom to be expanded. Imagine I come into my office and the same energy with which these boys, these men, harass girls to bring them to the bedroom. I use it to harass men for Christ. Oh, I imagine the joy in heaven. And I'm glad to tell you, it's a joy. You don't want to know how many. Because they look to you and they are wondering, sir, what will you say? And I tell the person, Jesus loves you. The person is shocked, sir. One of them says, sir, you don't know what it means that you are preaching. You are talking about Jesus. I say, what do you say, sir? Because before you, the managers we've had in the past, all of them, terrible people. But you are here talking about Jesus. because of you, I will follow Jesus. You don't want to know how many have been attracted. I told my wife, Jesus has given you a platform as a lecturer. You will use it to the kingdom of God. You will use it to the advantage of heaven. I want to see souls come to the kingdom. Why? On the fourth Sunday, is it the last fourth Sunday? The last one we had, where what's his name was preaching. He talked about our Father in the Lord, how he came into class. Remember? I was moved to tears. I said, yes, this is how the kingdom is expanding. This is how we expand the kingdom. When Jesus gives you an office, use it for his glory. That is why you are a church, is to attract men to the kingdom. Evangelism is easy for me. In my office, I don't want to tell you how many customers I've brought to Christ. In that office, you talk and talk, and I see your problem is, I will start telling you about Jesus. Guess what? They are, first of all, in shock. Maybe this guy is making sense. Are you getting what I'm saying? As a church, our duty is evangelism, to bring men to Jesus. Any level he gives you, use it to bring men to Christ. That's what I'm saying. Use it. Number three, discipleship. Discipleship. No time, but note it. John chapter 8, from verse 30 to 32. John 8, 30 to 32. Look up. Jesus told those ones who have believed in him after he finished preaching and said, if ye continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed. Sir, it is not enough to say, I want to give my life to Christ. Noah's Ark, we must deliberately disciple people for Christ. I have a son in the UK who told me last week, he said, sir, thank God for the messages, the things you taught us. Many Nigerians went to the UK and lost their fire. Do you know why? When they were in church like this, people were preaching to them that God will punish your enemies. God will give you prosperity. He will give you what all those things we talk about. So when he got to the UK, he noticed he didn't need to pray for him to see good road, to see light, to see all those things that we worry about. He said there is no need to pray again, because the essence of prayer is what? To receive things. Relax, we are still going on a journey. We don't pray to receive things. Sir, we imagine that this woman that I say I love so much, every time we talk, is that she wants to obtain me. Think about it. No, think about it. You see, wait, you understood immediately, right? Once the ladies say, my husband, the next thing say, what will you ask again? Oh, yeah, what? That love is fake. We just love our company. We spent how many hours talking yesterday when I go for work? With all the stress from work, we just wanted to be gisting. If you lock us in the room together, we can gist for money tonight. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's called koinonia. For nothing, just gisting. That is the way prayer is. Call unto me and I will answer you. But that's not the issue. And I will show you great and mighty things you know not of. You don't even know what to ask, sir. I'm saying what Jesus expects from us is that we just come to love him. We love upon him. Just because he's Jesus, you just love him. I don't train men who ask God, your problem is, what will he give me? So when you come, and in 1 year, you've started planning it. You know, pastor, I just came 2 months ago, and I need husband, I need wife. 2 months. If next, you mark the anniversary, by April 2027, if I don't have that husband or that wife, sir, I'm not doing it again. My dear, stop now. Go away. Hello? Do what? Go away. I told my wife, if you came for things, when we give you things, you will go. On anniversary Sunday, you said you are going to kick out. Abi, did you see the crowd here that day? Okay, it's not cow that brought them, Abi. No, it's not cow. It is not here. Anywhere you will share food, people will gather. I'm telling you. But when you bring them by food, you will sustain them by food. You can't sustain anybody by food. Even Jesus finished giving them food. The next day, suddenly, we are following him. He said, you are following me because of the bread you ate. You will eat my flesh and drink my blood. He said, oh, madman. My work in this church is to build an army. That army is not bread and butter army. We are still good. We've not started. You are still seeing small, small things. We will build an army. Men who will see death and look death in the face. You know why? They know who they have believed. Put a gun on his head. He knows whom he has believed. You don't build that man in this kind of large crowd, though. No. We have a strategy. Each man must be an army that we build other people in a small closet. So that everybody on their own ranks will be doing great things there. You don't come and give us testimony that, Pastor, it's when you declare. No, I want to hear that in your own cell that you held hands and you see Satan get out and Satan shifted. Not men who are waiting for bread and butter. If Jesus did not give me this, I will not do it again. Now stop doing. Go back now. Go back immediately. Stop doing. Leave now. If you threaten me with needs from God, now we tell you, go back. Leave. Because whether he gives you or not, he's still Jesus. Is he not? My wife will not suddenly say, not marrying again because I told her she buy her blackberry. I don't buy blackberry. Now, blackberry. Do you know my plans for you? What is BlackBerry? I'm planning iPhone. What? What's the latest iPhone? And you're saying BlackBerry. That's what many of you are asking Jesus. BlackBerry, BlackBerry. Just, are you not seeing that BlackBerry is not what you need? You are crying for the man that broke your heart. Meanwhile, if you see your future husband, if you see your future husband or your future wife, there is no time. The first job I would have gotten, I was weeping. Jesus, why did you give me this job? I am thanking God. Father, thank you that you did not give me that job. Oh, I don't know how to cope with this thing. Do you know I was pushing to become a lecturer in Awuchipoli? Let me not give you that gist. Discipleship. We must grow men who are matured. For fellowship. Fellowship. We must provide a community for believers. I love fellowship. I don't like too much. I love the crowd, but we must break ourselves into small, small units. There's no time. Fellowship, so that you have a band leader there. So that you are doing great things for Jesus there. Fellowship. The church must provide a safe space for fellowship. Then finally, ministry. Ministry. Ephesians chapter 4. There's no time, but note it. Ephesians 4, 11 to 12. Then 15 to 16. This is the end of everything I've been talking about in church. It will end here. He gave them apostles, pastors, is it not? Evangelists, right? Teachers, prophets, for the edification of the what? Saints. And for the what? For the work. We prepare you for ministry. These ministry gifts, our offices, are to prepare the church for ministry, so that when I see a son of Noah's Ark that I've trained and I hear he's been posted to the police force, I will tell them, relax, give the police force some time, they will soon feel it. I get it, what I'm saying? When I hear that my daughter is getting married, I say, relax, I will tell the man, you don't even know who you are married. You are marrying my daughter. With pride, I'll say, don't worry, relax. Your problem has been solved. You know why? Because I've taught her, you are a bundle of graces. You don't go looking for help. You are the one helping this man. You come with vision. You come with grace. That's how you bring that package, that if the man was going down, the moment he marries you, he begins to go up. Do you understand what I'm saying? We train people for ministry. They enter into the banking sector, I can relax knowing that I have a dynamite there. He's doing business, I say, relax. He will soon take over that sphere for Jesus. I made up my mind. As far as I am in the sector where I operate, men must come under the influence of Jesus. I will not even tell you, let us pray. At times, I will not say, let us pray. But I want to... You go into school, you are in Lasso. All your classmates have entered trouble. Why? Because we are there. You know why? you will wake up at night with their names. You will begin to kabash on their names. That when they see you in the morning, they be asking you, I want to know Jesus. My heart is burning me somehow. You did not preach to him. It's just that fire that you started in the night is burning in his heart. Ministry. Ministry. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. In conclusion, guys, all through history, the church has always led societal transformation. That's the whole essence. Ranging from education, commerce, healthcare, legal jurisprudence, and the establishment of order and morality. The church is the lighthouse of the world and moral compass of the earth. Hence, the reason why Jesus called us the salt of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, the earnest expectation of the creation as of today is the manifestation of the sons of God. My prayer for us is that we will not fail God. Can you close your eyes and ask him, say, Jesus, I will not fail you. It will never happen that I will see a member of Noah's Ark and I will close my face in shame. No, it will never happen. We will not fail Jesus. One cry, I will not fail you, Jesus. I will not fail you. We are now seeing that the real essence of the church is to produce men for ministry. So that when I refer you to any place, I say, take that my member. He will do wonders in your company. I can refer you. I can sign and say, don't worry. Employ Femi, relax. Femi will shock you. That is the whole essence. Not that when I see Femi outside, I'm ashamed. I say, how is this Femi? Who is this Femi? Me when they say, Pastor, you don't know Femi. No, it will not happen here. From Noah's Ark, we will have men and women who will do ministry in the world. Who will shine the light everywhere. Tell him, Jesus, I will not fail you. I will not fail you, Jesus. I will not fail you, Jesus.